What's good, everyone? My name is Jacob Moses, community builder at Strongtowns, and welcome to It's the Little Things, a Strongtowns podcast where in each episode, we focus on a different action that you, the concerned citizen, the elected official, the city planner, can take to make your town stronger. This episode's action, building an accessory dwelling unit. An accessory dwelling unit, also known as an ADU, are dwellings either attached or detached from the main house that exists on a lot with another house. If you follow the Strongtowns blog, you've likely noticed we write a lot about ADUs, and rightfully so. They're a bottom-up, decentralized, incremental, scalable, and adaptable approach to urban growth and affordability issues that totally aligns with our approach to building strong cities, towns, and neighborhoods. Sadly, they can be challenging to build. Cities often require homeowners to pull permits and pay lots of fees. It can be hard to find a general contractor. And the upfront cost can be alarming if you have trouble calculating the return on investment. That's why my guest today, Caitlin Bigelow, created Maxible Space, a San Diego-based company that provides education from navigating required permits and finding general contractors to calculating the expected return on investment to empower homeowners to build ADUs. In this episode, we'll discuss how you can get started building an ADU, including how to check the required zoning, encourage your peers that ADUs are a strong way to strengthen your neighborhood, and how to discover the benefits beyond passive rental income. Enjoy. Hey there, Caitlin. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. How's life in San Diego?
It's nice and sunny and, no complaints here.
Good. I'm happy to hear it. Happy to hear it. Well, Caitlin, I'm just overjoyed to have you on the podcast. We have a great action to cover today, and that is building accessory dwelling units, or perhaps more commonly known as ADUs. And Caitlin, this is a topic that we write a lot about at Strongtowns. It's a conversation that our readers and listeners are actively following. And I know at Maxible, you're in this space every day, boots on the ground. For folk who are following the ADU conversation, tell us more about Maxible and where it fits in the ADU conversation.
Yeah, so one of the things I like best about what we do is that we're at the intersection of a lot of interesting things. So Maxible Space essentially helps homeowners navigate the process of building an ADU on their property. So we work with homeowners, we work with city officials, architects, general contractors, you know, nonprofits who are interested in kind of promoting more affordable housing measures. And so, you know, I think that when I first started this, I didn't realize how many different groups or pieces of the puzzle I would get to work with. And so I really enjoy that. And I think that the reason why Maxible Space finds themselves kind of at the center of all of this is at the end of the day, like what I see as the biggest issue around the ADU movement and getting more ADUs built is an education gap. So that's really the place that I've tried to create more information around is how can we help homeowners really understand what this process looks like, what it costs, you know, make sure that they're not being taken advantage of, that they're hiring the right people, that they're getting the information that they need.
That's awesome, Caitlin. So it sounds like education is really the core of the Maxible Space mission. Why did you choose to allocate that mission to ADUs as opposed to other forms of small-scale development, whether it's tiny homes, duplexes, whatever? What was so compelling about ADUs where you thought this education was so important?
So I grew up in San Diego, and my parents' property had an accessory dwelling unit on it. Cool. That was original to the house. And so when I was born, my mom quit her job at the LA Times as a reporter, and she started doing freelance, and things were a little tight. And so my parents ended up renting out their accessory dwelling unit to a student at San Diego State University. And that's what helped them pay the mortgage. And then later, once, you know, I was older and my brother were a little bit older and things were more stable, my mom ended up using that accessory dwelling unit as her home office, where she still writes to this day. Wow. So I grew up firsthand kind of seeing the benefits that these, like, really huge impact that these can have on families. So when the law changed, you know, there was a huge bill that was passed in California in January of 2017, basically saying any single family unit can now build a second rentable property. And I just thought, wow, this is going to be a total game changer.
Yeah.
And I really think that a lot of people don't know about it. You know, we kind of talked about that education gap. You know, you go up to the Bay Area or you go up to Los Angeles and you say ADU and people kind of know what you're talking about. But I ran into people all the time in San Diego that have never even heard the term accessory dwelling unit before. And so I think that other cities in the U.S. are paying attention to what's happening in Portland, what's happening in California, because we're not the only ones facing affordability issues, right? So,
sure.
You know, I have Google alerts on my computer set up for accessory dwelling unit news. And a lot of the major cities in the U.S. who are having issues with affordability are having discussions around accessory dwelling units. So I think it's something, too, that you're going to see, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of legislative and policy changes around accessory dwelling units in the next 5 to 10 years.
Interesting. And with this education aspect, how do you kind of find that common ground with people, Caitlin, if you want to start discussing the benefits of ADUs? Like, maybe we first come at them with this acronym, and they might be a little thrown off at first. If someone's in their neighborhood, it currently doesn't allow ADUs, yet this neighbor sees the benefits, whether it's more housing stock or passive income. How do you start to bridge that gap with people who may not be familiar or maybe initially deterred by ADUs?
Yeah. I think at the end of the day, it's kind of an issue of empathy, right? Mm. I mean, yeah. People are getting priced out of neighborhoods. I think that a lot of kind of like the NIMBYism that surrounds this comes from people who are worried that these will be turned into Airbnb rentals. Mm. And the spirit of the law of what's happened in California in a lot of places strictly prohibits these being used for Airbnbs. So I hear the two main things that I hear that people are worried about in their neighborhood is that it's going to change the character of the neighborhood because everything's going to become an Airbnb rental and that there's not going to be enough parking. So for the Airbnb thing, you know, what I would say is, you know, obviously there's a lot of laws that are in place to keep people from using these as Airbnbs. Like the reality is the state really wants these used as long-term rentals. And I think a lot of homeowners, you know, they care about the neighborhoods that they live in. And, sure. You know, a lot of the clients I work with are doing this for very personal reasons. So, you know, I had one client who just finished her build in San Diego, and she had had a close friend of hers had a garage door fall on her head. Mm. And she had ended up becoming disabled and was receiving disability checks for a number of years. And when she turned 62, the disability checks stopped and she couldn't afford to stay in San Diego anymore. And her friend thought, God, this is such a shame that she isn't able to live in this city that she's grown up in the last, you know, 2 or 3 decades and that she loves and all her friends and support network are here. I've got some room in my backyard. You know, I want to build a small 435 square foot ADU and I'm going to rent it to her at a reasonable rate that she can afford. And there's so many stories like that, that I talk to people every day who are trying to put these units in for very personal reasons. You know, another client of mine, her husband has Parkinson's and their current house isn't set up, you know, to be wheelchair accessible and to have a caregiver be able to live in the house. And so she's building the accessory dwelling unit with the idea that, you know, her husband will be able to live on the property with them and, you know, it'll get set up to be, you know, wheelchair compliant and that kind of thing. So, you know, like I said, a lot of people think, oh, it's just going to be this, you know, rental to make money. But one of the surveys I put out to people who I had almost 100 homeowners answer the survey all over different parts of the state. And I said, what is your number one motivation for building? And I was expecting people to come back with, you know, oh, passive rental income. But the number one reason why people want to build is for family.
Really?
So I thought that was really interesting. And you know, the uses of these can change over time too. You know, so it's like you could build this with the intention of, you know, housing elderly family now, but then maybe in 10 years, it becomes a rental for you, or it becomes a home office, or, you know, that's a nice thing is that there's such a flexible use for the space.
There is. And I'll make sure to include this in the show notes. Somewhere on the Maxwell Space site, there's this infographic about all the different uses of the ADU. And like you said, it can start off with, hey, I need some passive rental income. I can rent it out to a student, like what your mother did. And then as the years pass, it can be a place for our parents to age in peace and look after the grandkids and join us for dinner. I mean, just so many wonderful benefits beyond the passive rental income. So we've captured the why, you know, why these ADUs matter. Let's take a shift and talk about the how, Caitlin. So I'm a homeowner. Not really. I wish I was. But say I'm a theoretical homeowner. And I look in my backyard. I have a good lot that could house an ADU. How do I get started in this process?
Yeah. So the first thing that you have to do is you have to figure out what your zoning is and if an ADU is legal on your property. Hmm. So, you know, in places like Portland, Boulder, Denver, any city in California, there's been a lot of legislation passed that allows you to be able to do this. Unfortunately, in a lot of parts of the country, building an accessory dwelling unit is still illegal, or there's like absurd regulations around it that make it extremely prohibitive. So again, I think that's stuff that's going to start to change in the future. You know, one of my recommendations would be talk to someone at Maxwell Space and we can help you get started. Yeah. You know, we do a lot of free consultations for homeowners and just kind of get them started on, hey, okay, let's take a look at the zoning for your property. All right, great. You're zoned single family, so you can build. Now, what structural form makes the most sense? Are we looking at a garage conversion? Are we looking at a two-story, two-bedroom, 1,200 square foot unit in the backyard? Are we looking at, you know, a 400 square foot unit that exists within the main house? So depending on what people's goals are, you know, we'll have recommendations on, you know, what size you want to build, what structural form it should be taking. I would say that the number one thing people don't understand or get wrong when they start to approach this process for the first time is the cost. So we spend a lot of time talking to people about giving them estimates on what it's going to cost, and people always underestimate how much something like this will cost them.
And then you have some great free tools for that, correct?
Yeah. So we have a break-even calculator on the site that helps people punch in like their loan terms, how much the unit would rent for, how much it's going to cost you, that kind of thing, so that you can start to get ballpark estimates on, you know, how many years it will take to pay back. Or, you know, if you're in the fortunate situation that you can just finance it yourself, that's, you know, kind of the best case scenario. But there's a lot of financing options that are popping up on the market in terms of renovation and construction loans that can help people, that can help you get these built. And another thing, you know, people have sticker shock when they see. So I'll give you an example. Garage conversion in Southern California, you know, could range from $80,000 to $110,000. For, you know, basically converting your garage into a 550 square foot apartment. So it'll have a kitchen, a bathroom, a living space, and a bedroom. And so people go, you know, oh my gosh, $100,000 to convert the garage. That seems so expensive. But we had actually done some calculations, and a $100,000 garage conversion, if you look at the ROI over a 30-year period, it can bring in, if you include the passive rental income it would bring in over a 30-year period, plus the amount of value increase to the property, you're looking at like a 1.2 to 1.5 $1 million return on your investment.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's even getting into Bay Area numbers, you know, where obviously the cost to build up there is higher, but the return can be a lot higher as well.
Yes.
So, I mean, absolutely. These are like mind-blowing numbers.
That they are. And I love the origin of the conversation too, if people choose to work with Maxible Space. I mean, yeah, once we do this cost breakdown calculator, we see a great ROI. But that conversation started with, what are your goals? Mm-hmm. Like, yes, there's going to be some passive rental income, but maybe your goal is to have your parents' agent piece. Maybe your goal is to add to the housing stock. It starts from such a pure place that has such a win-win for both the homeowner and the tenant,
which
is beautiful.
And that's why, I mean, I really enjoy what I do, and I love talking to people about how we can figure out a way to make this happen for them. The reason why I started Maxible and why I really got excited about this idea was when I was talking to, my mom has two friends who live in Southern California and were interested in building an accessory dwelling unit. And they both ended up abandoning the project, not because they couldn't afford it, but because they couldn't figure out what it was that they were supposed to do. And they kind of got bogged down in the details. Mm. And they both ended up abandoning the project. And I thought, wow, what a shame. We could have had two additional units of housing. You know, their lives would have been changed by this. Why does it have to be so difficult and convoluted? And so I started doing research online about like, okay, well, if I was in, you know, Los Angeles and I was trying to put this in, like what info would I need to figure this out? And I realized that there wasn't one single source where you could go and kind of find everything you needed. You know, it was like, maybe you talk to an architect, but you know, you feel like maybe that's a little premature because you don't even know what this is going to cost yet. And do you really want to get an architect involved right now? And then you're kind of like talking to the city and you're trying to get information from the city about, you know, how much are the permits going to be? How long is this going to cost? Or how long is this going to take? And you're kind of trying to figure all of this, you know, maybe you bring in a general contractor. Can you trust them? You know, sometimes GCs get like this kind of used car salesman rap. So I was like, wow, where is the education behind all this? Like, if I'm about to make a six-figure investment in my property, I want to talk to someone who's kind of, you know, not biased ahead of time and make sure that I'm making the right decision here. And so that's why I really just felt like Maxible, you know, fit that need for homeowners and, you know, could help advise them and like give them advice on, you know, what will end up being like a pretty big decision to make, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And to understand the homeowner's motives too. I mean, I kind of compare it to like finding a mentor. Like you want to get into a new career, you're uncertain about it. You know, it's a big investment to make this shift. So you reach out to someone who is in that business and understands the nuance. And I imagine that's totally aligns with the approach of Maxible as well.
Yeah.
I know you're based in San Diego and have more of a specialty on California laws. Can other folk who listen to this podcast who are interested in pursuing ADUs reach out to you just for some general information?
Yeah. So we're based in San Diego and San Jose. Those are kind of the two markets that operate in the most, but we talk to homeowners in LA all the time as well. As far as the rest of the country, there's still fantastic information that would be useful to anyone who's interested in building an accessory dwelling unit. So, you know, the break-even calculator, design tips, talking about how to analyze your ROI on this project. We do a lot of, we have some articles recently on, you know, elderly care and having conversations with your parents about what their goals are. So there's a ton of great information on the site for you, even if you're outside of California. And then, you know, for people who, this is something that you're interested in, but a law hasn't passed to support this, you know, my recommendation would be to talk to your city council. You know, these are conversations that you can be a part of and that are happening most likely in your city already.
That's absolutely right, Caitlin. And listeners, Caitlin's right. If your council is already talking about ADUs and it's an unfamiliar term to you, I mean, I can't think of a better resource just to catch up on the term than maxable space. It's, the website's beautifully designed. There's great graphics. I know it was the first time that I learned about ADUs before joining StrongTowns was through maxable space. So couldn't recommend it more myself. It's a great resource. Caitlin, from your experience giving people this education to build ADUs, could you share a couple of success stories for folk who maybe listen to this podcast and they understand the philosophy behind it, and they can picture it in their backyard, but maybe need to hear a little of existing success stories to encourage them to make it happen?
Yeah, absolutely. So another thing too, we have a lot of home tours on our site.
Oh,
and
that's cool.
You can watch one in particular. We've got a video walkthrough of a client that had just finished her unit. And that was the one I was mentioning that the friend who had this disability. So we have a video walkthrough, and that one was really a heartwarming one for me, because, you know, the intention was, like you were saying, so pure behind this. And she wasn't doing this to try to make as much money as she possibly could. She was doing this really to help a friend.
Yeah.
And she had bought her house 20 or 30 years ago, so she had a lot of equity, and then the neighborhood property values had increased pretty dramatically since then. And so she used some of her equity and built this small unit, and it just turned out really, really lovely. And the way that she got along with her general contractor and stuff, at the end of the interview, she described the whole process as magical.
Awesome.
And those were the words that she had used. But yeah, there's so many. And the other thing I hear a lot too, is sometimes people call these granny flats also. And I take a little bit of offense to the term, because when I think granny flat, I think kind of like this, you know, outdated, maybe like retro kitchen. Like, but the reality is these are beautiful, modern, energy efficient, environmentally friendly units that are really cool and cutting edge and, you know, kind of sexy. Like, I would love to live in some of these units that I see. Some of my clients finishing up. So I would definitely, you know, poke around on Maxable and take a look at some of the units that have already been finished, because they are really cool looking.
Awesome. Well, Caitlin, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us. To wrap up, and this is the question that we end every podcast with, how does building accessory dwelling units make our town stronger?
Yeah, so one of my favorite things is that I think that there's so much good that comes from building accessory dwelling units. So one thing is that it takes advantage of invisible density. Mm. So, there's a way to infill existing properties. So it's reducing urban sprawl. It's creating higher density, which means more taxes for local schools. It makes our neighborhoods more walkable and takes less of an emphasis off dependability of car, because you can walk to more shops and restaurants and businesses. And then beyond just the benefits for the town, you know, there's the personal benefits that you would reap as a homeowner as well. So
love it. More people walking your sidewalks, more friends to meet, more potential neighborhood leaders to come into your squad. I mean, it's a joy, Caitlin.
Absolutely.
Caitlin, if people want to learn more about you, learn more about Maxable Space, where can people find y'all online?
Yeah, so, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Maxable Space. But probably our website, we post articles every week. It's a great place to just kind of stay up to date. And we also have a newsletter where we put out a lot of information as well.
Awesome. Well, Caitlin, thank you so much again, and we will talk very soon.
Thank you very much. Take care.
Bye, Caitlin. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. If you're enjoying the content, please subscribe to It's the Little Things on iTunes, and we will chat next week. See ya.